Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
Welcome everybody joining us online as well, as Pastor Nick did. And also just a special shout out to Pastor Nick, who gave an amazing message last weekend. So good. If you weren't here for that, make sure to go back and check that out at our website, centralonline.tv. We'd love to have you there. Big shout out to each of our Central family locations, to those watching online, as I've said, also to those joining us in our partnership with God Behind Bars. Thank you guys for being with us this weekend. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit today about great expectations and how you manage expectations when life seems very different than your expectations. I've got a lot of experience with expectations and then with reality getting in the way of expectations. I think we all have this experience. Throughout quarantine, and I've been tinkering with this car project that I've had. I bought a 30-year-old Mazda Miata because I've lost my mind. And these things are like dirt cheap. They're big project cars because you can get them for nothing. There's all kinds of extra parts available for them and a zillion YouTube videos of people showing you how to fix them up, and they're pretty easy to work on. So I've been working on this car, and I've been kind of tinkering with it this whole year and trying to bring it up to speed and get it back to life because, you know, it's just the thrill of someday driving with the top down, y'all. Anyway, after Christmas, I'm like, all right, I'm going to put these coilovers on this car, like the suspension, like the shocks, you know, because the ones on the car are 30 years old, and every time you go over a speed bump, you think it's going to explode. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm ready, you know, and so these are my expectations. It was right after Christmas, and I'm like, this is going to take me 2 to 4 hours. This is what the YouTube video said, 2 to 4 hours. And the challenge was, as soon as I opened up the suspension parts, they weren't assembled. Like, they weren't even together. And the directions were worse than IKEA, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I've never done this. I've never done any of this stuff, right? And so that took me 2 to 4 hours just to get the coilovers assembled. And then the project starts. And it goes like every other car project that I've had, because I'm not good at this. So why am I doing it? I don't know. It's a quarantine thing. So I'm trying to, you know, get all this done, and I'm trying to get the old coilovers out and get the new coilovers in, and every car project ends up in a couple ways. First of all, it takes way too long, way longer than I think it's going to take. It always involves multiple trips to the hardware store. It can never just be one. It's always got to be multiple trips because I don't have the right tools. And then thirdly, every major car project involves me having a total, full-scale, complete, childlike meltdown where I'm like yelling and screaming at no one and, I'll admit, throwing a wrench or two, and it's ugly, y'all. And then it ends with me like sitting down, getting a little teary, and questioning my manhood if I cannot figure out how to get this done. I want you to know it took me days, but I got those coilovers in. It's about like every other project I've had in this crazy car. But it's hard when expectations meet reality, isn't it? You know, you think the new year is going to be different, y'all. 2021 is going to be different. If we can just get to 2021, it's going to be different. Then the Capitol gets stormed. Then, like, COVID is exploding, right? And we're all kind of looking around going, man, somebody like a weekend said, I'm 7 days into 2021, I want a refund. We have expectations and we have reality, right? We have expectations for our marriage or for our family or for our work life. And then we have the reality of what we're all sort of trying to manage in our lives. And it can get very discouraging and very frustrating when those expectations come up against reality. And I think that's where we are. I don't know what you expect for this next year. Some of you think it's going to be way better than last year, and I totally hope you're right. I'm with you there. Some of you think it's going to be the same as last year. Some of you think it's going to be worse than last year. But here's what I want to encourage you with today. No matter what 2021 brings, you can expect great things because you have a great God. It's less about the external, and it's more about the God that we serve. How can I make a statement like that? How can I say that in light of all the unknowns we're facing right now? How can I be that confident? Because that statement is anchored in the character of God, and not just who I might think the character of God is, but the character of God as he has revealed himself in the Bible. In fact, over the next 5 weeks, I want to look with you at a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter 34. And it's a fascinating passage because, like Tim Mackey, a theologian, says that this passage is the most quoted passage in the entire Old Testament. It's the most quoted or alluded to by Old Testament writers looking back. So the prophets, the psalmists, the history books, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Samuel. More than any other passage in the Old Testament writers allude or quote directly this passage that we're going to be looking at. And here's what's fascinating about it. It's where God himself, in his own words, describes his character. And he gives five core qualities that describe who he is. And so the Old Testament writers saw this as their anchor. This is who God is. This is what we can hang on to. Kind of like we quote John 3:16 today, they would reference Exodus 34. And so this is a huge verse in the Bible, and it's going to be a lot of fun to unpack it together. But I think it's going to give us a lot of hope because it anchors into what we can hold on to in the uncertainty of this season, who God has revealed himself to be. It comes at a very pivotal time. God has already delivered the Israelites from captivity in Egypt. He's led them out. They're moving towards the promised land. God has given them the Ten Commandments. And before like that deal is even done, the Israelites erect a golden calf and they worship it. And not only do they worship the golden calf, they actually say, "Behold, the God who brought us out of Egypt." God is not down with that. He's obviously angry. Moses is devastated, the leader of the Israelite people. It's an absolute mess. You know what it felt like? It felt like everything was about to fall apart and come off the hinges. Does it feel familiar? And it's in this moment, it's interesting, in the middle of when everything's falling apart, God shows up and says, "Look, this. Let me tell you who I am, because I'm the one who's going to see you through this. Let me tell you my character, because my character is what's going to sustain you. Let me tell you what you can count on, because you can't count on a whole lot of these other things that you're looking at." And that's what Exodus 34 sets up. And he delivers this message to Moses. Look at this. Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse 6. When we get to the red word, let's say it out loud together. But here's what we read. It says, "The Lord passed in front of Moses," what? "Calling." You see that? God himself calling out. So this is God's statement. God's going to call out who he is to Moses, calling out, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of," what? "Compassion and mercy." This is huge, y'all. God describes himself in the most quoted passage of the Old Testament by Old Testament writers at the very beginning as a God of compassion and mercy. Not a God of anger, not a God of power, not a God of strength, not a God. He says, "The God of compassion and mercy." And we'll talk about this, but this was very unique in the ancient Near Eastern literature at the time. Gods didn't introduce themselves. Well, first of all, not in this way anyway, but they wouldn't be seen as compassionate. God says, "I'm compassionate, I'm merciful, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness." Somebody put your hands together right there. That's good. This is how God introduces himself and his character. He's filled with compassion, with mercy, with, he's slow to anger. We might call that patience. He's filled with unfailing love. We'll talk about that phrase. And with faithfulness for us in our lives. And so no matter what we face in 2021, my encouragement to you is simply this: relocate your hope and you will renew your strength. If you relocate your hope from a political party to the God who is over all parties, you will renew your strength. If you relocate your hope from your job situation to the God who is over all job situations, you will renew your strength. If you relocate your hope from your husband being more romantic, hello, to God who loves you and who's already sent Jesus to die for you, you will give yourself, you will renew your strength in your life. Where you put your hope has everything to do with kind of how you're going to manage this season, how I'm going to manage this season. And so God's challenging us to put our hope in Him. So the first thought's simply this: relocate your hope. Relocate it for 2021. You know, it's the time of year when a lot of people do New Year's resolutions. I don't know if this year is unique for you and you have them or don't have them, but I saw a few things on social media that I thought were pretty funny about New Year's resolutions. I'll just bring these up. I could relate to these people. One person says this: my pants are getting tight. Come on, somebody. I told Lori this week, I said, hey, man, I gotta do something. If I keep gaining weight, I'm gonna have a pre-existing condition by the time this thing's all over. You know what I mean? My pants are getting tight, so it's time to get serious about my resolution to buy bigger pants. That's what I'm talking about right there. All right, here's one more. I thought this was great. My New Year's resolution is to be more efficient, so I'm giving up on it right now instead of wasting all January acting like I can achieve it. I relate to that a lot. But when you think about it, like, New Year's resolutions are sort of anchored in a hope, right? A hope that things will be better. We anchor those resolutions in a hope that we'll be more physically fit, or that we'll lose weight, or that we'll be more financially stable in the new year, or that we'll make some efficiency kinds of tweaks to our lives that will help us. And all of that's great, but we've got to have something bigger in our lives that we're anchored to deal with the uncertainty that we're all facing. And the something bigger is God Himself. He's the one that gives us what we really want: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of that comes from God. And we've got to anchor into the hope that He holds out to us. We have to relocate that hope. In fact, check this out. Isaiah chapter 40, an amazing passage, verse 31. It says this. It says, but those who hope in the who? In the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We've got to hope in the Lord. We've got to trust in the Lord. We've got to anchor that hope into Him as we move forward. And it says we'll be able to soar. We'll be able to run. We'll be able to walk, right? Even though things may be hard, even though our lives may be difficult right now, even though uncertainty may continue to be all around us, even though this election may never end, even though all these things may keep flying around us, if we hope in the Lord, He's the one who renews our strength. So what does it look like to hope in the Lord? Well, God just kind of unpacked it for us in Exodus chapter 34. Let's go to this slide and let me just kind of break it down. These are the five characteristics. He introduces Himself to Moses as the God of compassion. Now, compassion is a powerful, powerful word. It means that God cares, that He's invested, even emotionally invested, in the lives of His people, that He looks out and sees and is concerned. All of that's implied in compassion, and it's very different than how the gods of the middle of the Near East would have been viewed in that time. He says the God of compassion and mercy, that word mercy could be translated grace or favor. He's the God who gives favor to His people. And no matter how hard the year is, I believe God will continue to give favor to you as His people. He's going to continue to bless you as His people. He's going to walk with you as His people. Listen, the news doesn't determine your sense of contentment in your life. Your God determines your sense of contentment in your life. He's a God of compassion, a God of favor. He says, I am slow to anger. So He's a God filled with patience. Come on, somebody, that's good news. He's a God filled with patience. I can tell you, I'm not very patient. And when I'm doing a car project, I'm even less patient than that. It's ugly. But God is patient. God is patient. He's got a long, long, long fuse. And he's filled with unfailing love. This idea of unfailing love or loyal love, it's unique to the Hebrew language the Old Testament is written in. It's the idea that God is going to be loving loyally to people no matter what the circumstances. In light of your faithfulness, even your unfaithfulness, it's a loyal love that he shows to you. And then it talks about his faithfulness. God is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to be faithful to his word, faithful to his promises. And the circumstances and situations in the world don't undo this. Whatever happens in 2021 can't undo this. This is who God has revealed himself to be: compassionate, favor, patience, loyal love, faithfulness. And sometimes we just got to step back from all the drama and just remember who God is and hang on to it in our life. Your greatest hopes are only safe in the hands of your great God. Your greatest hopes are only safe in the hands of your great God. That's why we have to have a clear picture of who he is. Because listen, who God is more important than what you do. Who God is more important than what they did. Who God is more important than how you may have failed. Who God is more important than what you lost. Who God is more important than what you fear. Who God is more important than where you ended up. Who God is more important than what you face. Who God is more important than what others say cannot be done. Who God is more important than how messed up everything may feel in our lives right now. Who God is more important than what the future holds, because God's character determines your destiny. Listen, you're gonna get what you need because of who God is. You're gonna have a future because of who God is. You're gonna be blessed because of who God is. You're gonna laugh again because of who God is. You're gonna have joy again because of who God is. You're gonna find justice because of who God is. You're gonna find purpose because of who God is. You're gonna find forgiveness because of who God is. You will one day meet your Savior, and he will wipe every tear from your eye, and he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter your reward because of who God is." That's what we hold on to. Relocate your hope, and you renew your strength. And that's what we need going into a new year. Relocate your hope, and then expect God's compassion. It's okay to have great expectations this year. I've got some great expectations, and one of my greatest expectations is for God's compassion in my life. You know, my wife is just an amazing, kind, loving mom and incredible woman. Love her with all my heart. I might describe her this way, as this slide. She's the mama llama of our house. She ain't got time for your drama. Come on, moms, you feel that? She's the mama llama. She keeps everything together. She's filled with, you know, compassion. She's calm. She kind of navigates things with wisdom and skill. It's remarkable. But here's the thing for you mama llamas out there. Somebody messes with her kids, it's a different thing. In fact, we might say she looks something like this next image right here. That's the mama bear. How many mama bears we have? You know what I'm talking about. Mamas, man, the mama bears, that's next level, right? That's another level. I remember when my kids were little, let's leave that picture up. I remember when my kids were little, that's the visual. When my kids were little, they got lost in a department store once, and Lori had that store shut down in minutes, man. The mama bear came out, right? I can remember a few times over the years where I spoke passionately to my children. And Lori determined it was too passionate, if you know what I'm saying. And she called me by my full name, Judson, the mama bear. And I'm telling you, man, I'm not afraid of many people. Mostly I'm not even afraid of Lori. But when she calls me Judson and the mama bear claws come out, I step back. By the way, I don't yell at my kids. But she had a father, his name's Jimmy, who attends here at Central, is literally an incredible man of integrity and character, a godly man, an amazing person. I adore him. He was an engineer, so that tells you a lot about him. And, you know, this is Jimmy when he's really angry. And this is Jimmy when he's really sad. Really angry. Really sad. And so I feel like I was set up because now I'm in a marriage where the expectation is that when I'm really angry, it looks like this. And when I'm really sad, it looks like this. Come on, y'all. I'm a communicator. I'm not yelling. I'm just passionate. I can't tell you how many times in marriage, come on, you're living this in your own way, right? Can't tell you how many times in marriage I'm like, I'm not yelling at them. Just talking passionately to them. She's a mama bear, though. And every mom is. You know, when you peel it all back, they're the mama llama and they're the mama bear. They love, they protect, they nurture. They have a connection to those kids that I think is motherly love is unique to fatherly love. They're both special, they're both important, but there's something about a mom's love for her kids, a connection that she has with them that I think few of us would argue with. Now, here's why I go through all of that. Because what's fascinating is God describes himself as the God of compassion. That word compassion in the Hebrew language comes from the same root as the word for womb. And I think there's a double meaning here. On the one hand, it means it's a deep internal love, compassion, care, concern, right? Comes from the gut. It's deep. But on the other hand, it's also like a mother's love that's kind and compassionate and fierce and protective. And God is saying, this is my character. This is who I am. Like a mother loves her kids, like a mama bear loves her cubs, I love my kids with compassion. Deeply, I'm connected to them. And at that time in the ancient world, I mean, gods were viewed as these entities that were disconnected. They had to be placated. You know, they would get angry and you'd have to do things so they didn't, you know, kind of go off the rails. They didn't really care. They weren't connected. They would never be described as compassionate. This is unique. God shows up and says, let me tell you the first thing you need to know about me, Moses, and through Moses to us, the first thing you need to know, I am compassionate. I love you from the womb. I love you deeply. I'm connected to you. That's who God is. We see the word used in another interesting place in 1 Kings chapter 3. It's a pretty unique story in the Bible. Solomon is the king. Solomon was known for his wisdom, and he's the king at this time. And basically, they bring in two women who have a complaint, and Solomon's supposed to give his wisdom to deal with this situation. And so here's the complaint. These two women say, look, they both live in the same place, and one of them says, our kids were born 3 days apart from each other. And then one night her child died tragically. And she came and swapped the babies so that it was like my child died. And she took my child, who she's now saying is hers. And they're like drama back and forth, you know. Pretty tragic. Pretty crazy. What do you do? How do you determine whose kid belongs to the woman? Well, Solomon, in his wisdom, says, bring me a sword. And so they bring him a sword. He's the king, different era. Solomon says, cut the baby in two. We'll give one half to this mom and one half to this mom. Somebody's like, what? Different era. Cut the baby in two. But he was actually testing them. And here's what we read, 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. Then the woman, who was the what? Real mother of the living child and who loved him very much, cried out, oh no, my Lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he'll be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. And so obviously, Solomon took this moment to say, give the child to the woman who was willing to give him up. That's who the real mother actually is. And everybody marveled at Solomon's wisdom. But here's what I want you to notice. This phrase, then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much, in the original Hebrew language, that's the word compassion. That describes God's love as he describes himself to us, his compassion. God had compassion on us like a mother would have. And notice, this kind of compassion would lead a mother to release the child that she loves with all of her heart and to suffer so that that child could live and could thrive, right? That's what mamas do. That's what good mothers do. And this is the image of God in the way he loves us. He was willing to send his son Jesus all the way to earth to the cross for us who died. He was willing to suffer for us so that we could be free and ultimately forgiven and move forward our relationship with him. That's what it means when God says, I'm filled with compassion. I'm a God of compassion. And then when you go a little further into the New Testament, it's interesting. Jesus comes as the exact representation of God according to Hebrews chapter 1. And when you look at Jesus and his life, the number one emotional response of Jesus again and again and again isn't anger. It's not frustration. It's not protest. The number one emotional response of Jesus in the Gospels is compassion. Now think about this. Jesus, who's supposed to be like the only sinless person to ever live, who's surrounded by all of us sinners, hello. How frustrating would that be? People who don't get it, people who aren't dialed in, people who don't represent the heart of God very well, people who are selfish, people who are always going off, letting their emotions lead the way. And yet in that moment, Jesus is filled with compassion even towards all these annoying, frustrating, sinful people just like me and just like you. Matthew chapter 9, 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, the Bible says he had compassion on them. Because they were confused and helpless. Next time you see somebody who just looks confused and helpless, remember Jesus would have compassion on that person. Listen, he says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have a leader. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus saw a large crowd that stepped from a boat and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. In Mark 1:41, Jesus encounters a leper and he's moved with compassion and touches him, which you did not do with lepers. Hello. Be like, oh, you got the COVID, you know, breathe in my face. You didn't do that. You didn't touch the leper. Jesus touches the leper and he heals him. In Luke 7, Jesus sees a widow who's at a funeral for her only son. And his heart overflows with compassion. And he tells her, don't cry, and then he brings her son back to life. Kaboom. Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son and how when he returns to the father and runs to him, the father embraces him and kisses him because the father is filled with compassion for his son who had gone his own way. And this, says Jesus, is the reason fundamentally he hangs around with sinners. He's compassionate, just as our Heavenly Father is compassionate. This is why the week Jesus went to the cross is called the Passion Week. Passion literally means to suffer. Compassion means to suffer with. Right? And Jesus, led by love for his Father and his compassion for you and I, was willing to suffer and die so that we could live and live forevermore. So don't let your struggles right now define God's love. Let his love and compassion define your struggles. Your God is full of compassion, and that means that God cares deeply for you. And the idea here, it can literally be life-changing starting today. Listen, think about this. If God cares, then that means he hears your prayers. If God cares, then that means he's moved by your struggle. If God cares, then he is with you today, tomorrow, and every day. If God cares, you never face a struggle alone. If God cares, he is working and moving on your behalf. If God cares, no power formed against you will prevail. If God cares, your future is in his hands. If God cares, he will send his strength when yours runs out. Listen, if God cares, then he will protect you and he will guide you. He will bless you with what you need. If God cares, this world may be plagued by chaos, but it is not ruled by chaos. Listen, if God cares, you may face evil, but evil will not win. If God cares, you don't have to worry about what's coming, because if God cares, you don't have to fret all the time. You don't have to doubt your salvation. If God cares, you don't have to fear what others say or do, because God himself is your defender. If God cares, then you know he's with you. If God cares, you know he's going ahead of you. If God cares, then you know you don't have to have all the answers. If God cares, you don't have to get everything just right. If God cares, it's not all riding on you. If God cares, he's going to help you grow. If he cares, he's going to send his spirit to fill you. If he cares, he's going to open the doors that you need open. If he cares, he'll close the doors that you need shut. If God cares, he'll direct the nations. If God cares, he'll frustrate the plans of the wicked. If God cares, he will lead our church. If he cares, he will lead your family. If he cares, he will mourn with you. He will laugh with you. He will cheer with you. He will fight with you, and he will be with you. And you can be sure of this. He has already died for you in Jesus Christ. So God says, Yahweh, the Lord, full of compassion, deep love for his people, from the womb, from the gut, at the deepest level. He cares. He's emotionally invested. And the question I want to leave you with today is, do you believe it? Do you believe that God is full of compassion for you? Relocate your hope in him and you'll renew your strength. Expect his compassion. Don't let your struggles define God's love. Let his love define your struggles. So whatever the next year brings, I know I can expect God's compassion. Whatever happens over the next coming weeks, I know I can count on God's compassion. I know he loves me more deeply than a good mother loves her kids from the womb. I know he cares about me. I know he's filled with compassion for me. And I know he's filled with compassion for you. And I want to encourage you over the next several weeks, as we lean into each one of these characteristics of God as he's revealed himself, to be at one of our locations or make sure to be here online, to lean in, because what we need going into a new year is hope. And you're not going to get it from the news. You're not going to get that hope from current events. You're not going to get that hope from just a random friend or family member on the street. That's a hope that comes from God. And he's told us we can anchor into who he is and hold on to it. He's a God of compassion today. Maybe you in your life need that compassion. Maybe you've never crossed the line of faith, and I'd love to just lead you in a simple prayer to open your heart to God, to receive his compassion, for you to realize that he doesn't hate you, he loves you, and he's filled with compassion towards his people. I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer to just confess your love and your belief and your trust in Jesus Christ, to ask God to move and work on your behalf. It's not an ending point, it's a starting point, and it's a step that I think can have a huge impact as you go forward. So I'm gonna ask all of you, if you're ready to become a follower of Jesus, if you're ready to take that step, would all of you bow your heads, close your eyes, and would you just be willing to repeat a simple prayer after me, either out loud or in your own heart and mind? Say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just to acknowledge you're going to trust him and you're going to reach out to him today. Just slip your hand in the air. God, I thank you for each person reaching out to you today. And I pray you'll just move supernaturally in their heart and in their life. Fill them with your goodness, your kindness, your compassion. God, may they wake up each day going forward knowing you're with them. May they wake up knowing that you'll strengthen them and you'll walk with them and you'll protect them. May we all walk in our faith this week as we follow you and as we trust you. We thank you for your love for us in Jesus Christ. We trust him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.